This week on RSPB Update, it's spring festival time with Skilpad bunny ears, empty baskets, and chocolate eggs. We break down new rares and the chance to add bunny ears to your favorite Skilpad. Then we preview unwanted guests and visit Frank for round two of his free chest. This is RSPB Update, episode 929, recorded Thursday, April 6th, 2023. Bunny ears and empty baskets. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Folks might have been a little bit worried who have already listened to our monthly bit that Tanis might not have made it this week, but you're back. You're feeling a little bit better today. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane. Yes, I am feeling better. You know, this time of year where I live, the seasons just, they got to fight it out, and you never know what season it's going to be. And sometimes that can really mess with your sinuses.
Oh, boy, do I know. I'm worried about that coming down the pipe, because it's going to be a little bit north of approaching 15, 20 degrees next week, so that'll melt all the snow, unearth everything that's been hiding under there since October, and that causes trouble for my nose as well. Yeah. So listeners of the podcast will know that's probably when most of the Shane sneeze clips work their way into the archive for the year. But nonetheless, of course, we're here to talk about this week's update, the Spring Festival. And some other announcements, including unwanted guests, the next 4 and 3 content drop coming next week. But in the meantime, you can follow along in our show notes at update.show. We also have our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord, and our French chat is at BitsBytes. And if you want to chat with us in game one on one, DM us. I'm Shane 12088, and Tanis is at Tanis 79. So, Spring Festival always arrives in RuneScape around the Easter time, and this is Jagex's content that as of a few years ago they just started putting in these mainstay holiday events, Christmas, Halloween, Easter, that sort of thing, and then just iterating on them slightly from year to year. Are you going to be spending much time here this year? Are you on the Yak Track or your own skill grind? How do you where do you feel like you're going
well,
with this?
So I am very slowly doing Yak Track, and I'm on my own construction skill grind, basically. But what I do like about the spring event is I think they do try pretty hard to make it a spring event, right? Like, it's as secular as it can be.
Which makes sense for RuneScape.
Very much so, because, yeah, I think that's a good thing. That being said, out of all the holiday events, this one grabs me the least, and so I usually don't participate quite as much, because, I don't know, I really like Christmas, I really like Halloween. And the spring one, sometimes I can kind of take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. We, of course, have the potion brewing cauldron, which gives you herb lore or cooking XP. We have the druidic stone, which gives you either agility or prayer XP, depending on which way you decide to run around the circle. And then we have the log carving, which gives you either crafting or fletching XP, depending on what you choose to do. I've been spending most of my time at the crafting side. I just feel like that's kind of where I wanted to land this year. With that, and you know, as with that, the butterflies have also appeared around RuneScape again to give you XP. And since we had our peer update last week, you can talk to Athletics right at the event there. And with that, you can toggle combat XP on or off for the event. So if you're a skilled peer and you don't want to get that, or you're a peer of any kind and you don't want to get combat XP in your skills without consent, you can definitely press that button right there for that. So I felt like I had to mention that given our content last week. And of course, a new thing that everybody gets this year for the 1K items is the Egg Hunter title that shows that you basically just participated in the event, and then everything else from previous spring events, outfit-wise, including the butterfly outfits and the Aurelian cape, are all there, as well as the Cruxical robes as well. You can unlock for spring tokens if this is your first spring event. But, you know, I think the thing that we have to of course talk about comes with the new rewards that are in this one, and that's a Lost Easter Basket. You get one of these for free when you first start this off, if you open up the community event window, and then following from that, well, I guess you don't get it for free. I guess I just bought one for free. You could use your first spring tokens that you get and just buy these Lost Easter baskets for 1,000 tokens each. And then what'll happen with that is that you'll just get directed to somewhere around the Easter event, and then you'll get a Lost Easter basket when you find it. And that's where the rare items come from this year. Any of these jump out at you?
Oh, no, but,
okay. But,
but there's a big but. I do like something that they did. I think it's a great concept and a blueprint to go forward. And that is the, bunny ears for skill pets. One of my favorite things about Fresh Start Worlds, was the skill pet halos. Absolutely love that. And I got as many of those as I possibly could. And this is really cool. You know, this is a way to, of course, monetize that. But I actually think going forward, this could be really cool because, I mean, come on, Fashionscape times are pets? Come on!
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so... Am I into the bunny ears? Not really. But I can see a lot of potential for this going forward.
Yeah, and just for clarification here, right now, according to the data that the RS Wiki has, it's a 2.67 out of 1442 chance of getting this token, which is basically a 0.18% chance, which is slightly actually worse than using Treasure Hunter keys to try and get it, which we'll talk about in just a minute. And then once you get one of these tokens, you don't get to pick which skill pet override you get. It's random. So you could be looking for it for brains and get Dojo Mojo instead. So
yeah,
we're going to have to see where all these land.
Yeah, there's still some bugs to work out. Like that, I would probably...
Make it a choice.
I would do that. Just a little more user friendly, right? A little more bang for the buck, right? Because you gotta have a mix between something people want to buy and a good value.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, to be 100% clear, you look at Treasure Hunter. It's about the same 0.02. Or no? Did I say 0.18? Or did I say 0.01? I gotta look back at my number here. Might be off by a factor.
0.018.
Okay. Well, on Treasure Hunter, it's 0.02 chance to get that. And, you know, just working out some quick back of the envelope math on that, that would mean that if you were to spend 500 Treasure Hunter keys, you would have a 10% chance of getting one of these through Treasure Hunter. I just looked up the number again. 0.18% from the spring fair, and looking at Treasure Hunter is 0.02%. So it's actually worse on Treasure Hunter. It's an order of magnitude better on the spring fair, which is good, I think. Because I mean,
unexpected
gameplay, right? Gameplay,
yeah.
Yeah, so
like unexpected.
Yeah, and you know, my usual caveat for this is going to be what I said for the Christmas event too. And you know, if you're planning on getting keys, make sure you get the keys because you want what Treasure Hunter gives you. If you're getting the keys to just gamble for a skilling pet token, I would say you're better off playing the content and trying your luck there, or if you just want to guarantee that you get your favorite skill pet with bunny ears at that point and you didn't have the money in game, just, you know, buy a couple bonds and sell them and buy the token on the GE. I feel like that's the most surefire way to go if you're wanting to pay Jagex for it rather than going down the gambling route.
Yes. I 100% agree.
And, you know, in general, that's the same sort of thing you say with lockboxes in other games, too, is that if you're going to, you know, be 100% certain that you want to go and pick this up, you're better off to, you know, just go, you know, buy the keys or buy the boxes and then get the money from those and then just purchase it on the exchange if that's feasible. And it is in this case. And I think I found my favorite pet with the bunny ears, and I think it's Herbert. Of the ones I've been scrolling through so far. That little tortoise with the bunny ears. Ace the Hunter Falcon is also neat. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Like, it would be weird to me, but
It does look weird, and I think that's what speaks to me on it, is that it's kind of uncanny with the bird. But another fun one is Woody as well, with the I guess we'd call him an ant with the bunny ears on it. So I don't know. I'm sure everybody has their own favorites here, but I wouldn't say no to brains with bunny ears on it, but I'm not gonna actively go out and hunt for it.
That's kind of how I feel too.
Yeah, we also do have two other rare items that came with this event here, and that is the intricate Easter egg. That this one is, you know, I go back to 2002 when they put the first Easter egg tradable rare in game that you could eat. This Easter egg, the intricate rare Easter egg, is based on GE value, so pinch of salt there, 27 mil and 1.67 out of 14. 42 chance to get that one. So that's rare item number two. And then the rarest of all the rare items, Tanis, here, in addition to skill pet tokens, is the empty Easter basket coming in at 0.33 out of 1,442 pieces of data. And what you do with this is that you get one of each of the eggs, and a lot of the eggs are more common than the intricate Easter egg, is that after you do this, you can make a full Easter basket that you can then carry around.
Yeah, I mean,
if that's the kind of thing that you want, that is also available, kind of like your own little personal treasure hunt. And when you look at it, I think that the Easter basket is going to be harder to source than just sourcing one or two of the skill pet tokens for ears.
But for me, where the skill pet tokens, you might be able to play them just outside of, I mean, just as a Fashionscape type of thing for fun. This one is something I can really only see you using around this time.
Yeah, or if you're doing, like, or if you're doing like a spring themed kind of outfit or something like that.
Yeah.
But, and you know, and as per usual, 100% cosmetic, nothing pay to win here in this case. And I'll say also, it looks as though, I don't know if this is going to be as good as the wrapping paper one, but it's also another good treasure hunter promo, out there if people are interested in that sort of thing. But, with that, I think I'll just also mention that there's a general, loot table that is also associated with these lost Easter baskets. You can get butterfly jars, which, for people who are unaware of that, you release that and you get a large sum of XP that goes to your lowest skill. It's basically, for the huge one, the equivalent of 16 times that of a single Guthix's butterfly, and then you can get multiple of those through there. And then you got other consumables that are available elsewhere in game, like your D&D tokens, dragon trinkets, dungeoneering wild cards, previous Easter and spring emotes and outfits, gift for the Reaper, fixate charge tokens, dungeoneering tokens, Slayer VIP coupons, and summoning spirit shards as well. So, and you know, I'm kind of torn with this. I'm kind of torn about whether to continue on the Task A Yank track or kind of just open it up and just, you know, sit back for a few hours a day in AFK here to get some general Yak track progress down and get these tokens so that I might, you know, decide to take a chance at maybe some eggs or skill pet token overrides. I haven't decided yet which I would do here. So, but I think we can move on to our next iteration this week. We're certainly iterating on lots of events for this week, aren't we?
Yeah, we got it's quite eventful.
Oh boy, I don't know if that was meant to be good or bad.
It was for Therion.
Okay. So Frank's Free Chest returns starting April 5th, and this is, of course, the iteration on January's Frank's Free Chest run, and you're still going to get bits of 8. You're going to get 1 per daily login and 1 per hour played like before, except this time you're going to be able to get up to 16 each week, whereas previously you could only get 12 per week, which, you know, that's an extra 4. And you might be wondering, how are they sweetening the deal this time? Because I feel like lots of people, us included, felt like Frank's Free Chest back in January was kind of a dud.
I feel like it should be called Frank's Big Fib, because I ain't getting nothing, and I don't really anticipate it this time, but we'll see.
No, this time you get 2 rolls instead of 1. You get a roll on the special table and a roll on the real regular table.
Well, that might help because, I got squat.
Yeah,
last time, and I had quite a few of those pieces of 8. Like,
because that was the tail end, or that was right after Fresh Start ended. So we were still, involved in lots of RS related things, multiple hours per day. So
yeah.
In the special table, you got things like the Phantom Deathbeard outfit token, the two-handed swordfish, Scrimshaws of Aggression, Sacrifice of Corruption, Livid Plants, Unfocused Reward Enhancers. Those are good. Those normally come from the mall and are very useful for working on trim components and whatnot. A Traveling Merchant coupon. That's interesting. Okay. Two trade animals, the Scurvy Pet tradable token, a huge cash bag, small knowledge bombs, unstable air runes, crystal triskelions, Wicked Hood teleports, fixate charges, the Jolly Roger cape. Of course, you're noticing all these are pirate themed. Player-owned farm time skips. Last time I think we saw those was with the login lockout rewards. Death Touch darts, starved ancient effigies, Reaper points, the Kratos fake beards, the Kratos peg legs. That's a fun one. Deathbeard's outfit, individual slot tradable tokens, auto unlock Deathbeard transformation emote if the last above 10 tokens is unlocked, large bag of invention components, unfocused damage enhancers, the ship's wheel shield. Ooh, that could be fun. Walk the plank emote tradable token, and the pirate sheep tradable token. So you're guaranteed to get a roll on this table for each time you do that. And then you're also able to get a roll on the regular table as well, which is a slimmed down version of this and more just general gameplay items like wild card tokens, essence, meteor CD mush, uncharted island maps, green with the green or red dot on them, ports resources, planks, Tajitu, crystal keys, alchemist keys, onyxes, dragonstones, trimes, torstal, regalian, fellstock seeds, and so on and so forth. We'll have to see if this makes an impact on here, giving an extra roll on here.
Well, now that we talked about the rewards, though, like, I mean, those cosmetics, I think they're pretty cool. I love the Jolly Roger cape, right? Like, that's something that, but I have all of them. I have all this stuff.
Right.
So that's the only kind of drawback to it.
And then I guess you fall into the category of the Deathbeard transformation then, in that case.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, and I have the whole Deathbeard outfit stuff and all that, so. Yeah, that would be about the only thing.
Yeah. And they say if you collect all 64 bits available during the event, so 16 per week, so it's running for 4 weeks then, you'll get 8 rolls on each table. So that's 8.
Yeah,
like, it's better than before, but I still feel like it's not special.
No, I feel like before,
we,
though,
are
there
we
was
fair
a couple,
in saying that?
I think we're being fair. I think, wasn't there a cash prize before, which...
Yeah, that's still here, the huge cash bag.
Oh, okay, it's still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still here.
Yeah, I mean, the unfocused enhancer, so it's all nice, but I don't know. There's definitely no, like, special drop. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what this actually reminds me of? This actually reminds me of the daily login bonuses that some games have.
Yeah.
You could just get one of these every day for just logging in if you had a Premier Club. And then, you know, at that point, you know, just slim down the amounts and give it every day, right?
Yep.
Rather than having to wait till the end of the month.
Yeah.
Because that's...
But they give us the added bonus of gambling.
What?
Our daily bonus is 2 treasure keys.
Oh, right.
Don't you love that thrill? Come on. Big bucks. No whammies.
You know, I did actually log in during the Easter egg event to see how that would go and see if I could pull anything skill pet token related out of that. So, you know, I'm not going to lie about that.
They got you.
They did.
They got to you.
They did. I don't see myself spending money on this promo, but I might spend some oddments depending on how it goes and if I want some extra bonus XP, though. I got enough of that coming out of my ears at this point.
There you go.
But... yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the engagement is like on this iteration of Frank's Free Chess, and maybe if the next iteration is then rolling it into some form of a daily login benefit then, perhaps. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, with that, let's move on to our patch notes for the week. And starting off, updated Mandrith's Slayer points to align with Lanakea, and we were kind of leaning towards the side that should be done, because the last time we looked at Mandra's Slayer's task, they were still banking on the Wilderness Threat system, whereas with that gone now, you were actually getting less points than you would if you were doing Lanakea, so that's good.
Yep.
And you still need to complete these tasks in the wilderness, so I don't know if that's something people are interested in doing. Right? Though I imagine we'll be talking more about that later in next week.
I think there's going to be more reason to do fun things.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Adjusted the location of the muddy chest found in the lava maze to make the Ripper Demons more avoidable. Good, because, you know, you shouldn't get smacked by a Ripper Demon if you're just going to the muddy chest.
Yeah. Yeah. Good change.
Added examines through Fort 4 and 3. Yeah, we did kind of notice that those were lacking going in, and that is the hallmark of RuneScape lore and questing, so right on there. XP boost from the upgraded ports workshop now apply to the soup creation station in Fort 4 and 3's kitchen, which makes sense since you're using a soup station. And rearrange the order of teleport options when right-clicking all the variants of the Wilderness Sword to be consistent with the Operate UI teleport options. Okay. I feel like this is something that deserves a bit of discussion here, because for the longest time, these kind of things were all out of whack and just pretty much put in order,
yeah,
whichever,
just willy-nilly,
whichever way the developer wanted them to. And I think having them be in a consistent manner is good, despite whether or not, you know, it throws some people off of the changes that were made. And one of the things that makes for hallmark of a good user interface is consistency, in that you establish a pattern about how to do things. Like, for example, in Windows and most operating systems at this point, the pattern of how to move or copy a file to a different location is the same no matter which OS you're on and which app you're in, and whether it's, you know, File Explorer or Microsoft Office, something like that, you can pretty much anticipate where something is going to be. Whereas with this adds a level of consistency for teleport options. So I feel like this is important despite it being moved around. And then,
yeah, no, I do too.
Yeah. And then this next one is something that I'm actually having a look at right now. They updated the new player interface preset, which, you know, I have a feeling this is going to be something that came from Press Start Worlds based on what we hear. So if we go to the new player interface option, it's actually quite interesting the way it looks, thinking about it. And I didn't actually pull it up until now, but what you have for this is you have two panes at the bottom right. You have your inventory and worn equipment. And then to the immediate right of that, you have your list of skills, your ability book, and prayers, all in a tabbed interface. Then on the top left, you have the activity tracker, the achievement paths, and the quest list up there. Top right is minimap. Bottom left is your chat and action bar as well. And then if you have subsequent action bars, you can put them wherever you want. I feel like we've finally arrived at a user interface that isn't overly confusing for new players. I actually feel good about this one here.
That's, yeah, it's definitely cleaner.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing I'm seeing with this, just kind of thumbing through the presets here, is that the new player interface is pretty, pretty reminiscent to the retro preset, minus the extra windows in the top left for quests, achievement tracker, or activity tracker, and the path system. So,
yeah,
I think we're learning something here.
Well, I think so. I mean, but if you think back, I think you hit the nail on the head with this being some feedback from Fresh Start, because that was one thing that once you started your account and you got in, it took you like 20 minutes to get your interface set up the way you what you're used to, because it was just like
not
a mess.
Just interface,
you know?
Escape settings too.
Yeah, you're just like, what is this? Like, you know, you forgot the way that it used to be, because, you know, we've been playing our way for so long, and then you start this fresh thing and you're like, what?
But the important thing is that new player actually now has everything that you need to get going on there,
yeah,
as well. So
yep,
that's one thing I want to hammer home with that. And, you know, hey, this actually might be my favorite patch note of the week, thinking about it. I don't know. Though I guess that'd be par for the course, wouldn't it?
A UI. Yeah, you are a sucker for a good UI patch note.
I am. All right. Also, adjusted the lighting in the next AOD arena, adjusted the lighting in the Temple of Amanishi, and lightened up all the appropriate map squares for the abandoned and occult dungeoneering floors.
That's nice. Those are hard to see.
Yeah, yeah. I think abandoned was the red one and occult was the purple mm-hmm. one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like that's been something we also talked about before on our own to-do lists.
Yeah.
So. All right. That's it for patch notes this week. We're going to thank some Patreon supporters in a bit. But before we do that, I have a preview of something from our monthly bit this month that we get to share with our listeners. And you can kind of think of this as you know, how we normally do the nibbles of the full podcast on YouTube, right? Well, think of this as a preview or a nibble of the monthly bit. So we're going to have a listen to this excerpt from the ABCs of RuneScape Skills Part 2 right now. I'm content to move on to thieving now with this one. And thieving, I think, is an interesting one in this category because in itself, everybody just sees thieving as one of the fastest things to get to 99, 120, and 200. We saw that in Fresh Start a lot, of course. But at the same time, I think at this point in the game, thieving has one of the most diverse gameplay styles that you can find in a skill. You have your traditional pickpocketing. You have pickpocketing with the relic that will allow you to keep pickpocketing until you're caught, kind of the same way as the Prifels, but not entirely there. You have safe cracking, which can move you throughout the entire world. And then within safe cracking, just like mining, you have a variety of choices. You can either go fully AFK and just AFK those wilderness safes for about 300k XP an hour, or you can take a fully optimized high-level route and get close to a million XP an hour. Or you can just maximize the heck out of the skill with things like the Crystal Mask, the Camo outfit, or the Triskelion, or not the Triskelion outfit, the Exoskeleton outfit, the Aura and the Relic, and AFK on the new Cruxical Knights that were added back in December, and get some seeds along the way. And it's the same story as mining, just such a diverse plethora of gameplay options for it that it has to go in the good category, but they're all entirely different from what mining has, which makes sense because mining is a gathering skill, whereas I think we call thieving a support skill at this point.
Yes. I mean, to me, thieving is the textbook example of how like different training methods done right.
Yeah,
like there's so many ways of doing it, and then you can completely change the way you play it using. Is it a relic that you can keep pickpocketing?
Yep.
Or did they make it standard now? I don't know.
No,
like,
it's the
relic. Changing, but like so many things that they do, and sort of modifiers you can put on the skill. Mwah, like chef's kiss, right? Like it, like despite the fact that it is, in essence, a very simple skill. The huge variety of it is what makes it so good.
Or no, right. They made that standard. The relic just increases the rate of auto pickpocketing.
Yeah.
It is standard. Yeah.
But as you said, the differences, I mean, you know, with the safe cracking, with the pickpocketing, but even with the Crux Knights, you know, where you've got to use a spell and a prayer, you know, it interacts with other skills and gives, you know, for that high level interaction. So there's an actual use to train it all the way up because, you know, getting those extra seeds and all that type of thing to bring into game. I think they really do well with that for the variety of play.
Yeah, and I don't know if thieving was in this position before safecracking came out, and then safecracking, archaeology, and a number of changes along the way kind of moved us there, though I guess going back in time, Prifels were probably the first one in this category, right? That really diversified it.
But it was the same. Basically, you trained to get the Prif, you started pickpocketing, and that's all you did. You just circled the areas and
right, and in that configuration,
I did 97 to 99 on Dwarf Traders. Hi.
Okay, Dwarf Traders is also there, and that's another classic textbook case of maximizing because you needed the monkey, you needed to have the Dwarf Trader trapped in a certain spot so you could just move or not have to move as much.
You get rid of the guard.
And I feel like thieving has always been in this category, because that's, I think, one of the reasons that makes it Thieves' favorite skill. Thieves is a longtime RSBNB community member on this, is that when you look at thieving, these sorts of things existed well before Prif, but nobody really knew about them at the time, adding to the diversity of the skill.
Like even early in the skill, right? Like you have the stalls you can steal from, which is very different from pickpocketing.
Yeah.
And I think you sort of move back and forth between pickpocketing and
yeah.
stealing from stalls as being sort of the best way of doing it. Back in the day, you also had the safes in Rogue's Den. Do you remember Rogue's Den? I do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the only bank in Burthorpe in old school.
Right. That was a good training method back in the day.
Exactly.
The coshing of the bandits. I mean, I did a lot of levels down there. Oh,
yeah,
after the food,
yeah. That one, yeah.
We also have the Thieves Guild capers and the things that those unlock, too.
Yeah. It's like yeah. that. Exactly. The skill gets so much love, and it yeah, what more?
I feel like it's something that, you know, it doesn't have the fans out there like archaeology and farming do, but at the same time, it deserves those fans. So that's why thieving is in our good gameplay category.
But you've also, I mean, you know, as I think Sirion said it once before, our character is not a good guy. I mean, he steals, he kills, you know. But, you know, it's a lot of people want to play. I think thieving's not sort of looked at as one of those skills by a lot of people because you are stealing things.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a great all-round skill.
And that's the preview of the ABCs of RuneScape skills, part two, the monthly bit, the extra bonus Patreon content that we do. Tanis, you weren't there for that one. You were under the weather. You have any feedback, thoughts on that preview, that brief little clip of the discussion?
Well, I thought you guys did a great job highlighting the strengths of the thieving skill. And one of the things that I think makes thieving special is even though we have these new thieving training methods, they have brought up the old methods as well.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't become dead content. It didn't become obsolete. They were raised along with the new methods, you know, and of course I'm thinking of dwarf traders with the, you know, making the Prifels kind of style standard. But if you think about it, you know, I guess it's been a little while now, but there was a time when you had Prif and you had safe cracking, and there was this whole tier, you know, system of moving up, you do this, move up, you do that. But you also had choice all along the way.
Yeah.
And one that you guys didn't mention that I have to bring up, because it's really fun at first, and then by the end, you freaking hate it, and you never want to hear the words again, but Pyramid Plunder.
Oh,
was an essential part of thieving.
And they actually made it less annoying along the level up path, too, thinking back to recent patch notes.
Yeah.
So that's just another feather in the hat of thieving, man.
Absolutely. Hey, and it's okay if you're stealing stuff from, you know, a long time. I mean, who owns it, really? I mean, it's dead people, right? I mean, who are you really stealing from?
And what I wanted to highlight by including this in the episode is that we went over a whole selection of skills, and I'll just name a few. We did archaeology, we did farming, thieving, mining and smithing, herb lore in the good category, and a few others. Then on the bad category, we did slayer, summoning,
you didn't
crafting,
shame,
agility, and fire making, amongst others. And then we also had a question mark, what the heck is going on here category in relation to invention.
Okay, that would have been a fair discussion.
It was. And if you want to hear more about this, it's in the monthly bit, and we ended it all by finding the common threads between the good skills, the common threads between the bad skills, and looked at the small changes that could be made to make these skills better, and really asked the question, you know, do we need full mining and smithing level reworks anymore if that kind of thing is done. And that's the general path this monthly bit took, if that's at all interesting to you. And that's available to Patreon members at patreon.com/rsbnb. But before I turn to that, anything else as skill tier list wise you want to say?
No, I'm just sorry that Sorry that I couldn't make it. Someone could have, I would have at least tried to defend the honor of Slayer, but I should have known.
Oh, it's okay. Pernasius was in the same category, wanting to defend it, but you know, after going through it with the categories and whatnot, he was content to have the discussion about it in the bad skill category.
Well, you know what? Maybe it'll get better.
Maybe it will next
week. Maybe it will become a true combat support skill supporting another support. It'll be a support to a support.
We could only be so lucky. But if you want to hear the rest of this discussion, patreon.com/RSBNB. And in particular, this week, I'd like to thank Alaska, Alfie S., Amos Reed, Anatoly D., Andrew C., Arvids L., Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Bryflex, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, G. Hammy, Guy LaFleur, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Jim M., Keski, Ling01, Melanoric, Mohan V., Nate the Great, Nick G., Pernasius, Ricky A., Rippeth, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Stubby, Tabby, Tanner JW, The Naked Captain, The Davin Goat, Tim, Tom V, Zant, and Zazicon. Thank you, everybody, for your support. It truly means the world to us. If you want to learn more about what this is about or just get access to that monthly bit that we just previewed, you can find all that and more, including the entire back catalog of now 57 episodes at patreon.com/RSBNB for as little as a dollar a month. And with that, you'll also, of course, get a mention in our show notes and be helping to fund the cost for hosting and production of the podcast. We also do have a VIP tier for $3 a month, where you receive a special rank on Discord and chat channel access in addition to everything else, and gain high-quality stereo versions of the podcast each and every week. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have our insider tier for $5 a month, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the clips that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And yes, there will actually be some clips from this monthly bit in there this week. But all that and more at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks.
All right. Nice teasing with the Slayer, because that's coming next week. Unwelcome guest, the next Fort 4 and 3 update. It's a Slayer update, backed up with a mini quest featuring new Slayer Master the Raptor.
I'm stoked. I'm stoked. You knew I would be, right? I mean,
I know. Yeah. I know. We kind of had to go there, didn't we?
We kind of had to. But I don't know where to begin. There's so many cool things. I mean, I guess we'll see how the new mobs work out and all that, but what I'm really excited about is the trophies and Raptor, the way the points are going to work. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot here.
Well, where do you want to start then? You want to start with the actual fort or
yeah, the I guess we'll start with the, let's start
the
with
guardhouse, the guardhouse it's called. In the mini quest, you will unlock the guardhouse and, you know, as per usual, it has three tiers associated with it. Tier 1 gives you 1% damage dealt on Slayer tasks, which is doubled against undead tasks, which, you know, given the next skill is necromancy. Interesting, eh? Also, a 2% chance to a 2% increased chance to spawn elite Slayer mobs. I never really liked these. I found them a nuisance.
I do too. I don't really care for the elite Slayer mobs that much, but at the same time, they are what you get the good drops from a lot of times. So, you know, I mean, I'll take the little extra percentage, because if you are hunting and you know one of those drops, it does help.
Yeah. Tier 2 gives you a 5% increased Ushabti capture chance.
I love that.
Good for people who haven't done their codices yet.
Yeah, well, even like even if you have your codices, the what's nice about that is if you swap things out of your dungeon, like I do.
Oh, right, because you don't get the codex or the soul back if you swap it out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm a fan. I'm a fan of this.
It also comes with a 4% increased elite mob spawn chance. And the tier 3 one, which I think is going to be really interesting, is that ultimate abilities have a 3% chance to execute non-boss Slayer targets. Now, this doesn't apply to things like Death Swiftness or Sunshine, but it does apply to AoE abilities. So things like your Tsunami or and Meteor Strike and whatnot. Which... is wow. I mean, yeah, I mean 3% really isn't that much, but it's better than nothing to, you know, just completely kill it. Imagine if it was something like one of the big abyssal creatures, right?
Well, yeah, or even if it was a big mob, right? So I think this is cool. It's almost making me think, do I want to swap out Sunshine for a Tsunami? You know what I mean, like I'm thinking about it. I'm really thinking about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can work. You could definitely work Sunshine in, I think, and a Tsunami. If big if, and I don't know that you'd want to spend this much money if you were using Insight Fear. I don't know if you'd want to spend that much money on Slayer Roots, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
But also a 10% increased damage versus Slayer targets below 25% HP. That's a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
And 6% increased elite mob spawn chats.
Nice.
And it's important to note that these increased elite mob spawn chances do not stack with the bonuses from previous tiers. So just keep that in mind. And with this, since it's the Raptor, there's also special Slayer challenges that he has, like all the other Slayer Masters. And with these, you'll net even more bonuses. And once complete, you hang these trophies up in the guardhouse, and you gain buffs. And this is what you're most excited about, right?
Yeah, I mean this. I mean, it just adds straight up Slayer XP, like just a straight up percentage added to your Slayer XP. How cool, right? Like, I mean,
is it? It says it's a 5% increased Slayer points from completing
the Slayer Raptor points. Tower. Which one
points,
was the percentage?
5% increased Slayer points.
5% Slayer point. Oh, okay.
Yeah, not XP
so that's
points.
That's why it tops out at the 18 for the okay. Got you. Still.
It's points. Yeah.
Still points. Like, I know not everybody uses them a lot, but I think they're great at for picking your own task, right? If you have enough
you know,
points,
I got yelled at for doing that.
Why?
I don't know.
That's how you do Slayer good and efficient, and you don't have to do bad task.
Anyways, challenge number one is 30 Slayer. That's your 5%. Challenge two is at 50 Slayer. This is 10%. Once again, does not stack. You also have a chance to toggle to change the default Raptor Slayer task length. I'm wondering how this is going to relate to the relic that allows you to do the same thing about min or max. And then at level 90 Slayer, you get challenge 3, which is a 15% increased Slayer points from the Raptor's task. And bone fragments will drop from enemies during the Raptor task that can be traded in for extra Slayer experience. So that's what you were talking about. It was
okay,
the bone fragments.
Yeah, I had them mixed up, but yes. I knew there was XP somewhere in there. I could smell it.
And the interesting part with these Slayer points is they scale linearly with your Slayer level. So you can start using the Raptor at level 10 if you wanted to. And it will max out at 18 or 21 if you have the trophies.
Yeah, I think that is just, I don't know, I think it's neat. I like it.
Whereas,
I'm a Slayer fan, whereas, and this is cool.
Whereas Lanikea is 22.
Yeah.
So this is one behind Lanikea if you have the trophies.
It is, but I have a feeling, I don't know, I feel like these tasks are going to be better. It's just a feeling I have, but I think they're going to be better.
Yeah, and Mott Doom went into this on the live stream this week with this, and, you know, being the Raptor, the main thing we're focusing on, of course, is the zombies and skeletons, the ghosts and phantoms, but there's also going to be undead cluster tasks as well as individual tasks focused around those. Specifically, they mentioned the lair that the QBD is in, because there's undead creatures around there. And, you know, I think this is good. I'm not a fan of Slayer myself, as I've made clear in the past, but I think it's good to get this stuff out there and to just have a variety of training methods available in the skill. Or a variety of Slayer Masters to choose from, right? Like, it shouldn't be, you know, just go to your best one. Now, I think at, you know, max Slayer level, you have three really good choices between Lanikea, Mandrith, and then the Raptor. Depending on what you want to do.
Yeah, and there's going to be some different... It's going to be some different things. Like, you know, we've never, that I can think of, fought any kind of a creature or anything that had soul split. You know, this is going to be kind of cool.
Yep.
Now I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll have full analysis next week when we get a chance to dive into all the critters and whatnot, because they did say they were leaving some other stuff behind that they weren't mentioning to it. But one thing we do have to talk about is with this also comes the Greater Sonic Wave ability, a basic ability requiring level 75 magic that has a 5-second cooldown, does 40 to 160% ability damage, gives you a 6% accuracy buff on your next ability, which can be important if you're using it against bosses in some cases. Some cases underscored, whereas there's other bosses where accuracy doesn't matter, but that's beyond the scope of what we're talking about right now. And then to me, the most interesting thing is that you gain 100 ability damage for 4.2 seconds after this lands. And, you know, it's quite clear from this that they're aiming to improve staves here, right? Because dual wield was always the flavor that people would go with for magic. And, you know, I think this is going to help a bit. We obviously want to get our hands on this for a number of reasons before we make any judgments on it. So we'll be doing, of course, the full combat numerical breakdowns on this next week on the podcast. And I think listeners to the podcast who have been around with us for a while will know precisely who we're going to have on and what we're going to do with that. But I actually want to go to a quote that was said in the live stream, unless there's anything you want to talk about with the Raptor Slayer stuff now, or save it for next
time. No, I'm ready to hear this quote, because I like it.
Yeah, so straight from the live stream, generally staves have fallen behind dual wield, with the exception of the Fractured Staff of Armadale, and this is just trying to add a little bit more power to them. Okay. I think that's clear. Now, here's the quote that I want everybody to take home. And it's clear that, you know, there's going to be some discussion about this. This is aimed primarily at mid-level players. People who haven't unlocked Greater Concentrated Blast will benefit the most from this. Jagex said, "We do know that this could mean more switching to rotate Greater Concentrated Blast and Greater Sonic Wave." And what we're talking about here in particular, and now I'm adding this in, is the 4-tick auto-attacking rotations here. And I asked David about this, and he said, yeah, you know, based on how they're setting this up, at this point you wouldn't even bother using any of the Sonic Waves anymore, because Sonic Wave was previously used in some 4-tick auto-attacking rotations. but not a ton. But with this, Jagex is introducing some other changes that will help resolve that. They said, we are linking Sonic Wave and Concentrated Blast. This means that you won't be able to switch between the two as many players have been doing. And we're also reworking noob trap abilities such as Piercing Shot, Rack, and Slice so that they fit better into the style. So what I read that as, and once again, early days on this. I need to underscore, early days on this.
Yeah, good change.
We need to get our hands on this to fully understand this. But what I'm reading into this is that there's going to be a shared cooldown between anything Concentrated Blast and anything Sonic Wave.
That was
which
exactly
I think
how I took it.
Makes sense. Because, it's very clear that this is trying to prevent more four-tick auto-attacking shenanigans, more switch-scape shenanigans from taking root in the meta. Because, you know, you look at Melee, that thing is entirely based around switch-scape. You look at the optimal magic builds, those are based entirely around four-tick auto-attacking. If you want to, you know, be parsing at the highest level of possible DPM that you can in RS, right?
Yeah.
And this is to prevent that from taking hold even further.
Yeah, look, switch escape, in my opinion, shouldn't really be a thing. It's not in any other game. Does your inventory management make that big of a difference on your DPS? What right. the hell? Like, that's weird.
And we need to be 100% clear that we're approaching this, you from somebody who does combat primarily for Slayer, and me, somebody from a mid-tier PVM experience, and we don't like Switchscape. And that's our perspective on this. We fully understand that, you know, Concentrated Blast and Sonic Wave are used in four-tick auto-attacking rotations sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe not all the time, and this could still have an impact in weapon swapping to do the four-tick auto-attacking rotation. But at the same time, this, I feel, is part of all, you know, a greater push of making combat more understandable and more accessible.
Well, it just, to me, it makes it... It's making it make more sense. Like I said, what about inventory management has to do with combat?
Right.
I don't...
Like, if it was up to me, you wouldn't be able to change any equipment in combat.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why we have to do it, because we are a classless game combat system. I get that. But I just don't know. I feel like it's not a real reflection of... I don't know. I guess I'm just really biased. I mean, I'll own up to it. I'll admit it. You know, when I think of combat, I think of shucking and jiving, getting out of the way, hitting something.
Right.
Right? Like, I just... That's how I think of it, and that's why when I say inventory management, like, no, that... Why I don't want to do that if I'm trying to fight.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to dig... Or seriously, Shane, if someone punches you in the nose, are you going to dig in your backpack to find some brass knuckles or something? I mean, hold on, let me find my tools.
And when you put it that way, sure, 100% makes sense. But at the other, on the other side of the coin, this is the combat meta that has evolved since the evolution of combat, unfortunately, for better or worse.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the system we have, but if you want to change it, I mean, the only way to make a change is to make a change, right? Like, at some point, you gotta, if that's what Jagex wants to do, they have to do it. And I think this is a good first step.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything dramatic, or I don't know. I don't think it's dramatic. Maybe it is.
Right.
But it doesn't seem dramatic linking the cooldowns together.
Right. And you know, I haven't, you know, scoured far and wide on this. I've asked our combat people on this, and the consensus was that it was used in some rotations, not all. That was the wording that was used for me. And the response to this is that people are going to just drop, you know, Sonic Wave from being used at all in that rotation. And also that the PVM community sees this as a useless upgrade, but at the very key point, they said on the live stream that this is aimed at people who haven't unlocked Greater Concentrated Blast. And you know what best part about this is going to be? And we'll have to see where this lands when we get our hands on it, is if it makes the Noxious Staff a viable weapon to use at Tier 90, then this has served its purpose. Because, you know, there's a number of applications out there where you might want to go do PVM, but the Nox Staff was all you have, right? And then you're in a situation where Tier 88 wands from ports or what have you is better with Greater Concentrated Blast and a good magic rotation if you're just, you know, sticking to the one style than if you were to use the Tier 90 weapon. And when you put it from that perspective, it doesn't really make sense. That doesn't really make sense.
Exactly. Yeah. It shouldn't make sense, right?
Yeah. And the part where people get upset is that if you are trying to merge, you know, swapping between dual wield and two hand, then this throws a wrinkle into that. But I think they could have done things that were far more drastic that would have had World 66 Falador hopping with that. So I think this is the compromise.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, if they obviously want to begin to change, and this seems like a small step. That being said, maybe it's a big step. I don't know. To me, it feels like it's a small step. I've always thought that the two-handed, you know, in theory, two-handers should be on par. I mean, I always thought of them as being like they should be slower but hit harder, whereas the other, the two-handed should be faster but hit slightly less, but because you're hitting faster, it ends up being more, right? To me, that makes the metrical sense. But we had gotten so like out of line that you use a two-hander to do Slayer. That's it. Yeah. You know, nobody's using it for anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it helps with that, I think it's good.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it also helps because for people who are just in the Slayer column, who buy a Tier 90, get Greater Sonic Wave, and then maybe go decide to do bossing one day, they're not going to get penalized as much from just having that rather than, you know, getting the full diversified menu, let's just say. And, you know, there's also the fact they said they're going to be updating Piercing Shot, Rack, and Slice. And we all know that Rack is absolutely useless unless you're using it with Exsanguinate. So there's that too. Maybe Rack will become a new basic to start weaving into these rotations with, even if you're not using Exsanguinate. I don't know. But
we'll see.
Gonna wait until next week to pass judgment on this, and I think everybody else should too.
I mean, I'll be the first to say, like, I don't know. This is definitely from an educated perspective, but you know, I think that sometimes that can be beneficial too, because I'm not so invested not everything that is, I can't.
Right, not everything has to be about four tick auto attacking and swapping between wands and dual and staffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Two final notes then from the live stream regarding the Fractured Staff changes. Mod Shogun and Sponge are investigating launching a test beta world for these changes. And if this is possible, more will be shared ahead of time when it's available. So they did take that feedback on board.
I just want to say that I feel like they finally took the right feedback and are actually the right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that to me seems perfectly practical. Like that's good feedback. And it wasn't
because they could have dropped the Fasoa and Anime Dead changes next week with this ability.
Right.
And they said it was going to arrive in April, and we'll have to see if that's still the case.
Yeah. But.
And also, just a note on this one. This was Mod Doom's first live stream. I think it was well for a first. It was done well for a first time out.
I thought so too. I felt like he genuinely came out of the gate knowing what he was doing. And I've always said, like, a community manager is a manager. And he kind of showed that he knows that.
Yeah.
I think the game knowledge will come. And I think it's already starting to come, you know, but he's enthusiastic. He knows how to ask, I feel like, the right questions. I was impressed. Like, I thought it was a good.
Yeah, I did want to touch on that because I realized that was, you know, the last time we talked about him was on the live stream when he joined Mod Huli, and we knew he'd be taking over some of these live stream related things on that matter. And, you know, the best way I could summarize it would be a really polished presentation on this as well. So, definite two thumbs up from us, I'd say.
Yeah, and it was polished, but it was polished from a very in-the-know eye like ours. Like, I don't think it didn't feel like a polished politician. I mean, like, I didn't get that feel. I knew that was what was going on because we are so into this, you know, world that we, you know, but I'm not sure.
You know, there was
sure
a series of speaking notes that he was going from.
Yes, we know that, but I'm not sure everyone else might have picked up on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was very natural the way he did it in his delivery.
Yeah, and you know, there were parts, like, when unveiling unwanted guests that you could tell that it was being read from something that was prepared, and that's fine because that's not something you want to, you know, wing on the fly. And, you know, hell, we even do that for our monthly bid opens.
Well, yeah, but he found what made him excited, and you could see it.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's a good update for him to interact with too, because as a new low to mid level player, having the Raptor available from level 10 mm-hmm. Slayer means that he can talk about it in the same way that somebody who, like yourself, is 120 Slayer can talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, definitely a good update for him to sink his teeth into. And our last piece of news, oh boy, we're moving quick on this one. Last week it was closed beta with 50% of accounts involved. This week, the Jagex account system through the Jagex launcher is now available in open beta to all players. We went quick on that, didn't we? From a month ago, 1%.
Yeah, we went really quick, which makes me think it must be working well.
Yeah.
Right? Or we would.
The only way you would keep going this quick is if your internal metrics weren't showing many snags along the way.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. So just to recap on this, you go to runescape.com, click the accounts button, and log in. And then after that, you'll be presented with an upgrade to a Jagex account. And then you just follow the page through that. And in my assessment, the main reasons you want to do this are, well, first and foremost, your old RS account had weak passwords. It only supported alphanumeric and not even uppercase, and no special characters, to the point where, you know, if you input a special character like a dollar sign or an at sign, it would just replace it with a number. The second reason, I think, to go with this is that it moves it to a more modern login system that, from what I can tell around the edges, looks a lot like the way everybody else is doing their logins in 2023, so that's good. And then finally, the most important one, if you use an authenticator, and everybody should, it utilizes the same way of connecting that authenticator that pretty much everybody else does. Whereas previously with this, if you lost your authenticator device, like if you dropped your phone to the bottom of a lake and your phone died and you didn't have a backup of it, you would have to contact customer support to get into your account and have them turn off authenticator so you could put a new one on. With this now, you get backup codes that you can store somewhere safe, log in with, and reset your authenticator to. But overall, it results in a stronger password, improved multi-factor authentication, and for people who have multiple characters, you can access them all from one account. But 100% in open beta right now, and I'd like to say that it's safe and that you won't be having any account problems with this, because I know that's the number one thing that always comes up in people's minds is that, you know, is my account going to be safe, that sort of thing. But
especially
did you do
since
it?
It's, I haven't done it yet, but not because I don't trust it, just because I'm lazy and I've been busy. But I am going to do it because I think it, because I have more than one account, right? Like,
yeah.
It's beneficial.
Time.
Yeah.
And then you wonder with this, at some point, maybe they'd be able to kind of do the fresh start thing where you could just spin up another account and they could just, you know, grant the membership to it for a limited period if you had it on one of your other ones, with that being all linked together now.
Yep.
I mean,
and
I'm not saying they
too.
Would do that, but it'd be nice if they did.
Yeah, and this means too that like each account isn't going to have an authenticator. It's just going to be your
one.
Account has the authenticator.
Yeah.
Which is so nice, because unless you have it all lined up, like if you do the 30 days thing, they all don't come up at the same time. So it's like sometimes you got to pull up your authenticator for one account, and then you're playing on the other account. Next thing you know, now you got to pull it up for that account. It's just a little bit of a hassle.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll just underscore again that they got a video showing how this works. But the simplest way is to go to runescape.com, click account, log in, and then click upgrade and follow the instructions it gives you on screen. And then you'll download the Jagex launcher and you'll be good to go.
You go.
All right. I believe that's it, and we can move on to our achievements for the week. So we got three of them this week. We got Swaboosh with 120 Herblore on the 5th, Worst Tasker got 99 Attack on the 4th, and Mahin got 120 Invention on April 2nd. Well done, everyone.
Thanks.
All right. What do you got for Pick of the Week?
So this week I have a pick, and most of you know that I typically will try out the new wrestling game of the year. And for fans of WWE and the 2K series, it's had its ups and downs. Last year was one of the ups. And they really took what worked about it and made it better and pushed it. So my pick of the week this week is WWE 2K23. It has all of the stuff that last year's had. You know, the penny mechanics are the same. This year, the showcase is all about John Cena, which, you know, who doesn't love some Thugonomics from John Cena? So I'm looking forward to playing that. But they've also added the war games and First Blood matches. So I'm looking forward to those. There hasn't been a War Games match since, gosh, it's been a while. I think it was like one of the wrestling games on PS2. So it has been quite a while since we have had that. So I'm looking forward to playing those. I went with the deluxe edition, but mainly just because that gave me the season pass. You by no means need to do that. You can, you know, you can just get a standard, and then of course they have, you know, an icon version, but my opinion is you don't really need it. it's a little salty price wise. I think it is double the price of the standard edition. That's a little much, but we are looking at 5 DLC packs of additional wrestlers, so, you know, pretty decent value for the season pass. And then with the deluxe, you also get some bonuses. You get a supercharger, which gives you all of the legends and stuff right off the bat. And then it gives you some points to use on my franchise. Also brought back GM mode. So if you like to be, you know, if you like to pretend you're Vince and, you know, have your little wrestling empire, you can do that. It's pretty fun. So yeah, that's the pick of the week. WWE 2K23 also plays well on the deck.
Okay, I was just about to ask you that, because on the Steam webpage it says Steam Deck compatibility unsupported.
Yeah. The actually 22 says unsupported as well, and I'll tell you this. My desktop, which, yes, is older at this point, but it was still no slouch, had a hard time playing 22, and to the point that it wouldn't play 22, but the deck would. And so far with this game, deck's playing it no problem, smooth. I'm not getting any jitters, no nothing.
I wonder why it says not compatible then.
A lot of the time when it says not supported, it's because they don't have like a controller supported thing. And basically what you do is you use a community controller layout.
Oh, okay, right. Because the game says partial controller support.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
So yeah, that's my pick of the week.
All right. My pick of the week then is a new image from space. And of course, people will be familiar with the James Webb Space Telescope. And what we have today, actually just unveiled today, Thursday, by NASA, is a new image of the planet Uranus, which is something that, when initially captured by Voyager, was just basically a blurry blue blob, right? Mm-hmm. And then later on, we move on to Hubble. And we can see that, oh, there might be a ring or two there. But now, with James Webb, we actually see that, okay, it actually has a ring system, not as wide or as big as Saturn's, but there's definitely a huge ring system there, and you can actually see the detail of it, and you can actually see a whole bunch of other features available on the planet here with this, and in particular the atmosphere around it. Because one thing that people might not know is that this is one of the planets in our system that actually rotates on its side at about a 90-degree angle difference from its orbit. So what that means is that the seasons are really long on this planet, because there are going to be parts of it that experience years of constant sunlight followed by years of darkness. And the reason for that is that the planet actually takes 84 years to make a complete orbit around the sun. And right now, according to the blog post, it says that it's late spring in the northern pole, which is the picture that's is what's shown here. But the northern summer will be in 2028. And in contrast, back when Voyager 2 visited Uranus, it was summer at the south pole. And now the south pole is on the dark side of the planet, out of view, and facing the darkness of space. And with this, they also got a complete imaging showing a collection of moons of Uranus as well, which we didn't know that many of them existed in the past. But at this point, they have been able to get in this picture 6 of its 27 known moons. They say most of which are too small or too faint to be seen in this short exposure image. 27 moons on one of the furthest orbiting planets out there.
What?
13 known rings, 11 of them visible in the image. Whereas if we go way, way back in time here, you look at some of the rings from the Voyager 2 flyby, it wasn't really clear what the heck was going on with this planet. But they expect to make more discoveries from future images taken by James Webb in terms of maybe revealing even more of the faint outer rings that were first only discovered in 2007. So it just really goes to show how this is something that's in our solar system, yet it's something that we really, really don't know much about. And That's my pick of the week. You can find the full picture and blog post associated with this in the show notes at update.show. It's always amazing seeing these sorts of things, realizing that, you know, these are in our solar system. They're so far away, yet we don't know anything about them.
Yeah, because it's so far out there. I think it's neat because it reminds me a little bit of the planet that the Song of Ice and Fire is set on. You know, they have, like, their summers will be years and years and years,
right.
And their winters can be, you know, years and years and years. It kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. And, you know, the detail as well. And, you know, if you just zoom out on this image, it's actually an image that, you know, you would think was maybe computer generated, but we're actually starting to get to the point where these sorts of images of things that are within our solar system, we can get really, really good pictures of. So, update.show for both the link to this NASA blog post regarding new Uranus images and WWE 2K23. All right, and just a note before we move on to what we've been doing, we do have our Help Wanted form going at update.show/help. So if you're interested in maybe appearing on the podcast, you think you might have some sort of skill that might be beneficial, or you might have an angle of commentary that we haven't considered before, fill that out, update.show/help, and we'll be reaching out to you in the short order just to kind of say, hey, this is what you said. Where can we go from here, sort of thing. So I've already reached out to a couple of people regarding that, so thanks to those who have filled it out. But what have you been up to on RS this week?
So I've been doing quite a bit of laid-back construction in the fort. You know, even though the XP isn't good, I have been enjoying doing construction there, because it's different, it's laid back, it you don't get carpal tunnel from it. So, those are all things that I like. You know, and while doing that, slowly ticking away at the yak track and then picking up, what was it? The tokens or the currency or whatever, you know, from just skilling.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's basically, been what I've been up to. And of course that's going to come to a screeching halt next week.
When, you sink back into Slayer.
Exactly.
Because people are going to have to, you know, refill their codexes and whatnot, and it's going to be that sort of discussion all over again about heading into these things and doing Slayer tasks and whatnot. So
yeah, I'm finally going to get an excuse to put my Crypt Bloom on that I bought and never wore, and get out there and kill some things, play with some Animate Dead before it goes away. You know,
so. Yeah, and that's the important thing. We don't know exactly how that's going to land, what changes they're going to make to it, once feedback is taken in and whatnot. So, you know, as with everything else, fingers crossed, pinch of salt on that, the whole shebang. So,
exactly.
All right. As for me this week, continuing on Yak Track, my current task is a rune crafting task, but I'm about halfway done it by just skilling at the spring fair. So I think that's where I am going to stay for that one. But aside from that, just been doing dailies on RS and playing the Yak Track. Believe it or not, this is actually the first Yak Track task I've done. For this Yak Track here that I haven't actually done the task A of, or that I haven't skipped. And reminder to our listeners, the tasks I do skip are the dungeoneering and agility ones, with maybe skipping summoning sometimes, depending on what the requirements are for that. So, but I actually really enjoyed the fire making and cooking one. I just did cooking on all that because, you know, I have a stack of, you know, 10,000 plus sharks I have to get through at some point. So. Just Yak Track and whatnot. And if the listeners will allow it, I also just do need to do a shout out to the old school quest, The Garden of Death. If we have any old school players in our audience and you haven't done this quest yet, go and do it. And no, I'm not telling you to do that because it's a quest that awards 10,000 farming XP. I'm telling you to do it because it is the favorite quest so far I have done on old school RS. and it is based primarily on environmental storytelling, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
That doesn't sound like it's one that we have, so is that an OS exclusive?
No, we don't. It actually came out last year.
Okay. All right, cool.
The best way I could describe this would be an environmental version of the Needle Skips.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, I think you got some people's attention.
Yeah, it's in that realm. It's not on par with the Needle Skips, but it's in that realm of Quest.
Very cool.
Yeah. And, you know, the best part about it is it only requires 20 farming to do. If you're on old school. So anybody can do it, really.
Nice.
But so yeah, we'll leave that there. And, you know, I have a feeling the Garden of Death is going to form an interesting discussion one day, one way or another. But I don't believe there's anything else that we have for this week's episode of Updates. So thanks, everybody, for being here, listeners and whatnot. We'll see you guys next week for the full deep dive into Fort 4 and 3's Unwanted Guests, back to Slayer, getting a little bit of combat going, discussion relating to numbers and balancing and whatnot. It's always a fun side here at Update. And if you want to have that delivered automatically to you when it arrives, the best way to do it is to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where we post the video versions of the shows and nibbles and everything else like that. And you know, as we always say, if you like the show or you're just listening on YouTube and you haven't already, subscribe and give it a like. It greatly helps the channel out. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.